Hello, welcome to the Arch and Pool Cart, back at Peterborough Services yet again. A regular haunt for us boys who are lucky enough to travel around the country and cover Norwich City. Alongside me is our chief Norwich City writer, Paddy Davitt. We're sort of still trying to make up our minds up with how we feel from a penalty shootout defeat at Leeds in the EFL Cup fourth round at Elland Road last night. Good game, wasn't it, Pad? How are you feeling about it all this morning? Or this afternoon, actually. I think we've already crossed the threshold, haven't we?
We have indeed, mate, yeah. Still far from impressed with the way that the manner they threw that away, really. It's just, again, it's more of the same. It's more vulnerability, more kind of Norwich, not seemingly, irrespective of which team he puts out on the pitch, able to control a game and stamp their authority on it for the entire duration. You know what I mean? Yeah, of course, you go to particularly a place like Leeds, you're going to come under pressure, but it's almost like it seems to be, it's not so much coming under pressure, it's the self-inflicted nature of these things. And again, Alex Neil calling it individual mistakes that have basically dumped him out of the competition and piled even more sort of scrutiny and pressure, I would suggest, on the trip to Brighton, which is the reality of, as he said himself, pre-match is what really counts. That's what they'll be judged by this season. But it's turning into a bit of a fallow period at the minute, isn't it?
Indeed. I mean, you could almost say that this is potentially season defining. I mean, if you go from Fulham 2-0 up at half time to a 2-2 draw, Preston 1-0 home defeat, and now, okay, the EFL Cup isn't the same in terms of priority, but they led through Alex Pritchard. Marcus Antonsen levelled before half time, went into extra time after it finished 1-1. Nelson Oliveira, another header, two headers for Norwich in the game, 2-1, and then 109th minute, sorry, and Chris Wood, former Ipswich man, levels, and obviously that's disappointing. The penalties, Alex Pritchard, his penalty in particular wasn't great, yeah. But John Ruddy got them level in the shootout, didn't they? They had the opportunity to win that. Okay, they've lost a penalty shootout. I don't think there's any massive worries about that, but everyone seems to be talking about the fact that they're conceding goals from winning positions, that they still don't seem, despite the fact that they've got two holding midfielders, to be particularly rock solid. So do you think there's an obvious way forward? Obviously Brighton are tight defensively. Is there an obvious way forward that they can remedy that in the league?
To be honest, I don't think there is an obvious way, because ultimately underpinning all this is a manager who wants to play in a certain style, i.e. get on the front foot and attack teams, and it's almost a philosophy with that man, and that is commendable on one level, but you know, it's that old saying, you know, you keep banging your head against the brick wall, eventually you've got to stop, otherwise you're going to have a very sore head, aren't you? And it's just like, they just, every game now, they seem to be going in with the same mindset, and we're going to impose our will on you, which, as I say, is fine if you're able to carry that out. And again, Tuesday night, they're 2-1 up, turning for home, second period of extra time. Leeds, just to underline, down to 10 men for the duration of extra time, because they'd already made three substitutions and picked up an injury late on in normal time. How much more of a favourable conditions do you want to go on and see out the game? Not necessarily go and score for a goal. That would have been nice. I think that'd have killed it off. But just basically to be nice and solid, and the goal they've conceded at that point is just shambolic, really. You know, from start to finish, there's four or five individual errors, and I just keep coming back to, we spoke about it this morning, it's about, he hasn't got the balance right, has he? Ultimately, yeah, okay, you want to be aggressive with the ball and in an offensive manner, but defensively they're all over the shop, and you know, whether it's two holding midfielders or not two holding midfielders, the balance isn't right, and that needs to be addressed, and addressed quickly, because ultimately if you're conceding, I'd have to sit down and work out how many it is now over this period, but it's, say it's one stroke, two goals every game, then you have to be very, very good going forward to actually win games, and I don't think Norwich are, unfortunately, in this league. You know, Newcastle look like they're the team who have that capability, that they could basically just go out and wipe teams away. I don't think Norwich are kind of in that period, certainly at the minute. So, yeah, to bring it right back to what you said at the start, you know, this weekend now is big, because you know, Brighton will certainly be up there or thereabouts. They've built on what they did last season under Houghton, and I think you said earlier on that they've got the best defensive record in the league. So And I think it's unrealistic to assume Norwich are going to go there and basically bury them in terms of goals. So they probably will need to be tight, and there's precious little evidence of that at the minute.
Okay, well, I guess by the time most of you guys listening to this, it's probably Thursday or Friday, and you're looking ahead to the Brighton game, so we won't look back too much more. But if we just rattle through the team, obviously there were some changes on both sides. Leeds also rested some of their frontline guys, Chris Wood coming off the bench and helping them to turn things around. But if we kick off with John Ruddy in goal, didn't really cover himself in glory for the second equaliser. Do you think he's any closer to getting his way into the team, or do you think that Michael McGovern's now more certain as the number one?
I think probably McGovern. Ruddy would have had to been very good last night, because I think McGovern obviously showed again up against Preston, shot stopping wise, he's not done anything wrong. You know, as much as we're talking about goals being conceded, I mean, Preston being a classic example, there's not a lot the guy can do when five players in front of him basically allow Alex Baptiste a free header 7 yards out. You know, unless he's going to be Gordon Banks every week, then the reality is he's not getting a lot of support, McGovern. So purely on that, no. I mean, Ruddy, you probably could question, as I said earlier, there was four or five elements to that Leeds second equaliser, and I think his sort of parry was one of them. But he made an excellent stop just after half-time, as I recall, from a corner.
He did. The home fans did get on top of him a bit, though, didn't they? Because his kicking was quite wayward, and I remember there was one free kick he kicked straight out of play, and even Alex Neil shook his head at it.
And I don't think that's ever really been his strong suit, has it? You know, his work with the ball on the deck. But
there was one moment where he played it around whichever player was closing him down, wasn't he? And pinged it right to Alex Pritchard. So that was kind of a strange night for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of symptomatic of Norwich, isn't it, at the minute, and also at Elland Road. You know, that for a large part, they're doing things very impressively. I mean, the goals they scored, the first goal in particular, I mean, it was from a Leeds corner. They just went bang, bang, bang. Robbie Brady curled in the most gorgeous cross. Yeah. Pritchard's at the back post. He's got himself up in support. Lovely finish. Ditto, short corner routine for the second goal. Worked to Pritchard. He picks up Oliveira. Bang. You know, game on. And there was a lot to admire, and we'll get on to certain individuals who probably did further their cause. But sadly, ultimately, we're still talking about the things they're not doing well rather than the things they are doing well.
OK, moving into defence then. I mean, Ryan Bennett, the only player to keep his starting place from the Preston defeat. He was captain for the night. Sebastian Bessong alongside him in central defence. The big talking point, I guess, with Robbie Brady at left-back was that young Ben Godfrey got a start. His big opportunity, a big ask, I thought, of Alex Neil to put him in at right-back, although he didn't have maybe too many options, with Ivo Pinto struggling with a groin problem, that perhaps leading to the fact that he doesn't want to risk Russell Martin. I mean, for me, Godfrey looked a bit out of his depth at times. He's clearly a big lad, clearly got a bit of potential, but I think it was probably just a bit beyond him last night.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, it's a vote of confidence from his manager, and we've all seen it, that I think he could turn into a very good player, because physically he's there already. You know, he looks like he can physically cope with what's the demands placed on him, but clearly he's a very young man, and it's one thing, you know, doing it, coming on and doing it against Coventry City in at Carr Road when the game's already won earlier in the competition, but
scoring an absolute screamer
indeed,
in the process.
Yeah, indeed, but it's a different world of pain when you're away at Leeds and the crowd are getting on you, and more importantly, Gary Monk had clearly worked out it. It was a young man who could be vulnerable, and they got the ball out to Kemar Rowe for every opportunity, and sadly the first goal that they scored, the first equaliser, you would have to say was sourced from his side of the pitch, and that trend really continued in the second half until obviously you brought him off. He said he had a little bit of cramp after the game, Alex Neil, but I think he might be slightly protecting him there. I think it was time for him to get Melko Turner on, but then conversely, you know, that added experience didn't translate into seeing the game out. But in terms of Godfrey, yeah, I mean, it's all part of his learning curve, isn't it? And the fact that he is now seen to be almost on the fringes of the first team, I think speaks volumes of him, because he's one of those in that young pack of players who has broken out a little bit. And I think, you know, as I say, he'll probably try, I would imagine, between now and the rest of the season, he'll just try and dip him in and as and when. But, you know, yeah, ultimately, is he the finished product? Not by a long way.
Moved into the midfield, then Alex Tetti started the game with Graham Dorans on the bench, so he was paired in that sort of holding anchor midfield role alongside Louis Thompson, and flowing on from Ben Godfrey's performance. Louis Thompson was probably the bright spot of the night. I was again impressed with him, as he did well in the Everton game. But he was clearly wanting to protect his mate almost. He was doing his best to cover for Godfrey and really give him a bit of protection, because Josh Murphy and latterly Sergi Canos really weren't providing too much protection for him, which really didn't help such a young man who's at such an early stage of his development. So yeah, Louis Thompson, I mean, were you impressed with him again? Do you think he's now pretty close to meriting a start in the league?
Yes, I think is the answer to that. I think, you know, from what we saw again from him last night, and conversely what we've seen from maybe Tete in recent games, I wouldn't say there's anything different between the two of them in terms of their effectiveness and what they can add. You know, Leeds are clearly a Championship club on the rise if you look at their recent results, so that's the test he's going to face week in and week out. And he didn't look out of place. In fact, I thought he was excellent. Yeah, I mean, in terms of his breakup play, is, as you rightly say, the responsibility to try and protect his back four. But he was also athletic enough to get forward, and there was a couple of very progressive moves and breaks. And he's got that, you know, energy about him and dynamism. So yeah, there's, in my mind, particularly as we discussed prior to the game, both him and Tete and Dorans are teetering on the brink of a ban. So I think it's safe to assume between now and Christmas they're probably going to need to call on Louis Thompson. And if he maintains that level of performance, then I think he could be in the side for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a feeling once he gets in there that the fans are going to like what they see, and he may well hold on to that place, particularly at Brighton on Saturday. I think it could be the right game for him and Tete to really provide some proper defensive cover. They need to sort of, I think we talked about it earlier, didn't we, that they need to get some two sort of solid defensive banks, because a point at Brighton would really be very, very helpful at this point in time, wouldn't it?
I think it would, yeah. And just to basically steady things down again, because clearly, you know, the last two or three games, and you could even throw what happened at Newcastle into that mix, it feels like the season's just got away from a little bit after what was an unbelievable month. And, you know, are we talking manager of the month curses? I don't think it is anything to do with that, but
I hadn't thought about that.
No, but you know, clearly they were so impressive in that period, in that month, that this has come as a little bit of a shock. But you know, that is the nature of the Championship, and Neil has more or less from day one this season talked about peaks and troughs, and they're certainly in a trough at the minute. But yeah, if they were to get a positive result against Brighton and play well as well, then I think it's positivity. And of course, who do they have next at Carrow? Leeds. So that'll be an interesting game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to deal with the threat of the fifth yellow card for Dorans and Tete by giving Tete the first half and Dorans the second. But unfortunately, Dorans kind of pulled out of a tackle a bit for the second Leeds goal on halfway. I think it was with Calvin Phillips, which then saw Leeds break away and expose Robbie Brady. So I guess we've maybe seen kind of the effects of that. Moving into the attack then, Josh Murphy generally occupied the right wing, Alex Pritchard on the left, and Stephen Naismith playing just in behind Nelson Oliveira. Although they, I think particularly Pritchard and Naismith, tired, perhaps understandably, with 120 minutes, I think there were some bright spots, in particular from Pritchard and Oliveira. Would you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I'd agree there, Dave. Yeah, I mean, Pritchard, he scores one, he sets one up. Oliveira scores one and linked the play very well. You know, ultimately, we all know that the 30 minutes he produced at Preston were not anywhere near what was required. And but I thought the reaction was a little bit excessive after that game. I mean, there's a lad that he's basically been getting a minute here, a minute there, replacing Jerome at the end of games. It's difficult for him, and he's given basically a 30-minute run out. He's obviously going to be keen to impress, but he's playing Saturday against a team who were basically doing a job on Norwich, and Norwich weren't anywhere near as fluent as they needed to be. So it was a tough gig, that to expect him to come in and show what he's all about. But I thought conversely against Leeds, you know, it's a different, if you've got him up front as opposed to Jerome, then Norwich have to play it slightly differently. But they've got intelligent enough creative midfield players to do that, in the sense that if you're trying to hit balls down the channels, which Jerome feasts on, and occupies centre-backs to Oliveira, it's just not going to work, because that's not his game. He's a different animal completely. He is back to goal, play the ball into him, he's good technically, he's got the strength as well to link the play and get Norwich up the pitch effectively in a slightly different, nuanced way to Jerome. So I think the more games he plays, the more that understanding will come with his midfielders. And we all saw enough, I thought, last night, that he will be able to influence games at this level. It's just, as I say, finding the right opponents for him, because there'll be obviously occasions when it'll be more a Jerome kind of leading the line. But, you know, I think he'll prove his worth over the course of the season. So, yeah, that was another positive. And as you rightly said, maybe the two young lads on the wide right areas, they didn't really grasp the opportunity there, did they? I mean, Josh Murphy, as opposed to his brother, I still think he's not quite there in terms of his final decision, the final pass, the final shot. So I can understand why, you know, Alex Neil clearly fancies Jacob a bit more at this juncture. And as for Canos, well, again, it was a pretty ineffective sort of cameo.
It was a bit of a strange performance in a way, wasn't it? I mean, I know that Alex hasn't really been too impressed with him, it certainly seems that he's not been too impressed with him. I guess it almost seemed like a bit of a lack of confidence, whether that has maybe knocked his confidence, considering that this is a guy who was impressing for Brentford in the Championship last year.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult one. Again, it comes down to managing these young players. We've spoken earlier about Godfrey seems to, and Jacob Murphy, that they seem to have, you know, just had a bit of a growth spurt in terms of their development, and they look like they could influence games, or certainly could be an option in the first team environment. I don't get that with Canos at the minute. I think he's clearly got ability, and he clearly probably will be a very good player. But much like Maddison, you know, Neil made the call that Maddison probably wasn't quite ready to influence games for Norwich, so he's put him out on loan. This lad is kept in the building, but I would still say he's in a very similar bracket, that you aren't going to play if Jacob Murphy can get back that sort of mental sharpness that he's just lost in his game of late, then I think it's going to be Jacob all the time down the right hand side. And it's up to Canos now to maybe go away and the less pressurised environment of maybe the EFL trophy and the 23s games, that he's basically just got to get his head down and work, and the next time he gets a first team chance, take it.
Absolutely. I mean, you would imagine Jacob will probably come back in on the right on Saturday after having a week's rest. You know, Alex has really put a lot of faith in him. Alex Pritchard, I guess perhaps the 120 minutes last night may prevent him from starting. But I'd have to say that I'm interested to see what would happen if you could have Pritchard, Houlihan and Oliveira together up front, because the technical ability up there, I could imagine Wes really enjoying playing alongside Oliveira. But it may be too technical for the Championship. I'm not sure how that would work out, and whether we'll get a chance to see it. But just put a bit of a wrap on last night. I mean, over 20,000 there, almost 2,000 Norwich fans. The attendance was actually given as 22,222, which I found a little bit hard to believe. But it was an entertaining match, wasn't it? If you look at it from a neutral point of view, and the Leeds fans do make a heck of a noise.
Oh yeah, I mean, obviously we're coming at it from a Norwich perspective, and it's like how has that happened? But conversely, if you're any way connected with Leeds, from Gary Monk to the players to the fans, I mean, what a game to win. Now we're saying win, and obviously after extra time it finished level, but we know what we mean, that, you know, they've progressed on penalties, so for my mind they've won that game. And what that does when you've come through that level of adversity, as I say, to reiterate, they played the entire extra time period with 10 men, they've gone behind twice, they've come back, and then to win it, and as you rightly say, that crowd, well, it was almost fever pitch by the end, and once the winning penalty went in, it was bedlam, really. The contrast couldn't be more marked. You know, just this sad troop of Norwich players from the halfway line down the tunnel, where all the Leeds players have ran to embrace the basically the penalty hero, and then the fans have poured on as well. It's from a Norwich perspective, you didn't want to see it, but yeah, I think, and by all accounts, that wasn't Leeds' frontline players. So, as I say, I'm quite interested to see when they come to Carr Road now, a bit later in the month, you know, what they're all about, because it looks like Monk has got something going there.
This is the big thing now. I think they'll travel to Carrow Road thinking that they can do a similar job to Preston at the very least. Yeah. Now, I mean, what I quite liked about it was a demanding Leeds crowd. It was vociferous. They were quite aggressive, and a lot of those Leeds players stood up to be counted almost. They you know, had big chests, and they went out there and they did what was demanded of them. And I think perhaps Carrow Road could do with a little bit of that, because, you know, the home fans are demanding it from the Norwich players and not necessarily getting it at home. So it's time for a big performance, but of course we've got Brighton ahead of that. Long night last night. I mean, we had quite a strange situation, didn't we, in that we were still sat by the dugout filing copy close to midnight. And those of you who will have perhaps seen the video that me and Paddy did on Pinken.com or on the Pinken Facebook page, we'll can probably see the bags under our eyes as we're recording that video, hoping that the floodlights aren't turned off. But we managed to get through the night. And the one thing that I sort of left Elland Road feeling really was that the players didn't look too devastated. You know, that I think that one advantage of the EFL Cup is that it's great while you're in it, but if you go out, it's not the end of the world. And a penalty shootout is always a bit of a lottery. I mean, yeah. Ryan Bennett was good. He came out and spoke to us. He wasn't funny at all. He was quite happy to come and sort of face the music, as it were. And the players didn't look like they'd taken it too hard, despite the fact they disappeared down the tunnel straight away. So, I mean, in a way, is it a case of they just need to wrap this all up and add it to the frustration of taking that to Brighton with them? Obviously, we'll have the lights of close Sir Jerome Houlihan come back in. But do you think they'll be really determined to go and put that right against Chris Hughton's team on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, you'd hope so. I mean, I thought, as I say, you know, it's difficult to try and look for the positive shafts of light after that exit. But, you know, Neil was right in what he said post-match. You know, there was a reaction from Preston. Preston was diabolical. You know, they just didn't turn up at all. Preston were organised and frustrated Norwich, but Norwich made it far too easy for them. So, from that point to what they produced at Leeds, it was a marked increase in the performance level. So I think Neil will cling to that. And as you say, clearly there'll be more established first team league players who will come in for Brighton. So they need to build again. And as I say, it comes down to me. He has to get the balance right now. And he also has, you know, it's not just down to him, but those players, they just collectively and individually have to start eradicating these basic errors. You know, it's a lack of concentration, whether it's complacency. They're so comfortable in games. You know, the penny needs to drop with these lads, because ultimately they're shooting themselves in the foot now. And because they'd gone on that winning surge, it hasn't really left them with any real, you know, Newcastle aside, there's no real ground to make up. I think if they were to win against Brighton, they'd probably go up into the top two again. So in terms of the context of the league and what they're trying to aim for, you know, we're not at some sort of critical moment, but there is a trend, and it is a negative trend, and it needs to be eradicated. And as I say, you know, that comes from the manager and his coaching staff, but also from the players. It needs to be a collective effort. And nights like Leeds don't help matters, but I'm sure, you know, they'll get back next couple of days, put it to bed, and then all the focus is on Brighton. Yeah.
Right, let's enjoy our horrendously overpriced coffees then. Send this back to Arch and Towers so that you guys can have a listen. Of course, if you ever got any questions for us on the podcast, you know where me, Paddy and Michael are on Twitter, or tweet them to the Pinken account as well, and we'll always look to get them answered. We will see you the other side of Brighton, hopefully with something a bit more positive to report on. And like Paddy says, if they can get a win, they could be back in the top two, and we'll be wondering what we were worrying about.